We continue our journey through Epiphany this morning, where the emphasis is on the revelation of Jesus' divinity, or maybe to use words from our text from this morning, where we recognize the manifestation of his glory. This was first revealed to wise men from the east by the miraculous appearing of a star that led to the infant in the arms of Mary. If we had met 8 days on the eighth day later, or last Tuesday, we would have celebrated the baptism of our Lord. And we would have discussed how John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, only because it had been revealed to him by the heavens, miraculously opening, the Holy Spirit visibly descending upon the same infant, now 30 years old, and the voice of God declaring that he is his very own beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. This morning we now hear of Jesus' glory being manifested to his disciples by his miraculously turning water into wine. All of those events are in the hymn we just sang. What a sight these signs must have been. For many, though, these histories are misunderstood. They believe that these are demonstrations of how God will reveal himself, even to them today. And because of this, they're actually led to despair. They try to find Jesus revealing himself in signs that they themselves have appointed. And that takes on many different forms, but in the end, it's all the same. They expect to receive the revelation of Jesus the same way they expect to receive the Whopper they ordered in the Burger King drive-thru. That is, all dressed up the way they ordered it and willing to even drive back through and send back anything else that comes their way in a different form. And then as they sojourn in this valley of sorrow, sin and despair devours them. Because things don't go the way they want them to. They don't get the desires of their flesh. They cry out to the heavens, demanding that God give them what they want in this life and that he give it to them now. Beloved, when we do this, we will often hear the same response that Jesus gave to his mother in our text. What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Those words have a bite to them. They make us uncomfortable. Mary is rightly concerned that this wedding celebration is falling apart. They've run out of wine. But with his question, Jesus is telling her plainly that this really doesn't have anything to do with him. And he even explains to her why. My hour has not yet come. It will certainly come that he will restore his creation, that his children will be free of sorrow, that they will suffer no lack, that the creation will be restored to how it was meant to be, that there will be no lack of friends, no lack of good food, good wine, no lack of health, no lack of faith, no lack of love. That their cups will certainly overflow, but not yet. First, he must endure this fallen creation and no lack himself. He must go without faithful friends, without honor, without a place to lay his head. Despite his hardships and the abuse that he suffers, he will not sin in the midst of it. And then he must sacrifice himself and suffer his Father's wrath in your place as your substitute, the Passover lamb, as the scapegoat that goes out for you, and be glorified. And then draw all men unto himself, and then rise on the third day, and then establish the ministry and ascend into heaven. And then after all the elect are sealed in the waters of holy baptism, at the last, set loose the angel with the destructive winds, and create new heavens and a new earth. But not yet. In some ways, to parallel this with us today doesn't quite line up. That's true. For we know that our Lord has already suffered. He has already sacrificed himself for us. He has already been victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And that victory over it all is already ours. For we have been sealed as God's elect in the waters of our baptisms. However, there is more to come. We are waiting now for that last day where Jesus comes again as he has promised, where he raises the dead from their graves and changes their lowly bodies to be like his glorified body. That day when he ushers us into that joyful banquet hall, the wedding feast that has no end, where cups will certainly overflow. But not yet. For now, we continue to sojourn in this world. And we, like Christ during his time on this earth, will suffer. For there is no lack of sin in the world. Illness, death, lack, hatred, it's all around us. And like Mary, we rightly acknowledge this when we cry out to Christ that he would help us along the way. And like Mary, who prays, "Do whatever he tells you," we are responding rightly when we pray, "Thy will be done." Now our Lord relented with Saint Mary. And he turned water into wine. He gave an abundance to people who didn't deserve it, who didn't understand it, who almost certainly abused it. We live by faith and thus benefit from seeing the example of Mary when she didn't know what would happen next, but simply trusted that Jesus loves her and that he loves this world. When he says to her, "My hour has not yet come," it's not just a rebuke. It's a promise. His hour had not yet come, but it most certainly would. The day would come when Mary would be relieved of all social pressures and embarrassments, of loneliness and physical pain, of guilt and regret. His hour would come and he would make it to her hour, and he would make it to her hour as well. Knowing this, knowing the goodness of her son, she was ready to suffer, not getting what she asked for, or going without, and was willing to wait. Her prayer was not rejected, even though its reward was delayed. And so it is for us. Sometimes the Lord will relent when we ask him to, granting us that which surpasses all human understanding. Miraculous healings happen all the time. Certainly he grants us peace of mind in the midst of turmoil when it seemed like nothing else could be granted that way. But sometimes he'll tell us to wait. He'll tell us that what we're going through now is for our good, whatever it may be, no matter what it looks or feels like to our flesh. Like Paul, who pleaded with the Lord 3 times that the thorn in his side would depart from him, we're told by God, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so like Paul, therefore, we respond, "Most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in them, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong." Beloved, his hour will surely come. Your hour will surely come. He will wipe away every tear from your face. This is most certainly true. And while you wait, don't look for him where he has not promised to be. Instead, remember that just as he manifested his glory to his disciples in Cana, he has promised to manifest his glory to you. It is only the means that has changed. He has promised to manifest his glory to you in the waters of your baptism. So daily make the sign of the cross and remember it. He has promised to manifest his glory to you in the word. So continually go to hear it preached and do not despise it. Hear the wonderful gospel proclaimed to you in the holy absolution that God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you all of your sins. He has promised to manifest his glory to you as he comes to you hidden under bread and wine with his very body and blood given for the forgiveness of all your sins. To these things, we like Mary say, "Thy will be done." And we come to them again and again during our sojourning, remembering that the grace given to us in them is certainly sufficient for us. The hour of the full enjoyment of heavenly bliss has not yet come, but rest assured that it will. And when it does, we will gladly call out, like the man in our text, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now." Elsewhere, John writes, "He who testifies to these things," Jesus, "says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.'" And then he says, "Amen, come quickly, Lord Jesus." To which we all say, "Amen." Until that day, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each and every one of you in the way that he has promised to grant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.